The 523rd edition of the MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is brought to you by Cut. Cut is a peer-to-peer social betting platform that's U.S.-based and available in 40 states. Head on over to cut.com, that's K-U-T-T.com, and use promo code SGPN for a 10% deposit bonus. We're also brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Play their fantasy pick'em for a chance to win 100 times your entry in NBA, NHL, college basketball, and more. Sign up today using promo code SGPN to get a 100% deposit match. And next, we're brought to you by Champs. Run your own March Madness pool and enter Champs' free bracket contest for a chance to win $1,000. Go to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/champs to enter today. And finally, we're brought to you by Hall of Fame Bets, the sports betting research platform for parlays, player props, and game lines. Download the Hall of Fame Bets app or visit hofbets.com and use promo code SGPN to get 50% off your first month. Start making smarter bets today.
Heidi ho, DeGenerinos. Welcome to episode 523 of the MMA Gambling Podcast, the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. This episode is going out to my grandmother-in-law who turns 98 years old today. Pretty crazy. I'm sure she listens to us every episode too, so she'll hear this. 98 and more with it than I definitely am. That's for sure. So this goes out to you, Betty. Happy birthday. And everyone who's celebrating birthday, happy birthday. And everyone in the world who is listening, hello and welcome. I'm one of your hosts, Jeff Chalks Fox. And I say world because we have people listening all over the world in the craziest places. Zimbabwe, I believe, or maybe that was my podcast with my son. I think we have Zimbabwe in ours too. But anyhow, thanks for coming to the show. Action-packed episode, UFC Vegas 88, AKFC, UFC Fight Night, Tuivasa, versus Tybura. So excited. I'm butchering their names. We're doing the main card today. This is what everyone's been waiting for, right? The main card portion. They want to hear what we have to think about these big heavyweights in the main event. If you haven't listened or if you missed yesterday's episode, this is going swimmingly, isn't it? Yesterday's episode was the prelim. So make sure you listen to that if you've not already, and make sure you watch it as well on YouTube and make sure you subscribe. My co-host is going to yell at you about subscribing again, I'm sure. That's his thing. That's his new cause that he's going to drill home until we get enough subscribers to satisfy him. So yesterday, we did the prelims. We agreed on every fight except the one where my co-host went a little crazy and took a big swing on a +375/+375 dog. So I'm going to bring him in now because I apparently can't talk. I'm butchering things already. We just started. Let's bring in this smooth on the mic, Daniel Gumby Vreeland. Hello.
My smooth on the mic? Is that a thing?
Smooth. Your face is smooth on you. Well, you're smoother than me. I can't say any words today.
Yeah, I am smooth. All right. like Ben Henderson. Yes. So I will say, please subscribe to the channel. We really appreciate all the people listening, but at the same time, we're getting notes that it says 50% of people listening are not subscribed. It takes almost nothing to subscribe. So please just click that button, help us out a little bit. And, you know, I will say we knocked this fight card a little bit over the last week or so. The prelims, there's some fights in there that maybe are not the most exciting fights in the world. This main card is kind of interesting, is it not?
In every fight card's interesting, sure.
Of course, it is.
Is there anything I'm really
Gerald Meerschaert versus Brian Barberena? You're not all jacked.
That's a
up.
Hard one, though. A couple of your favorites, right?
I can't wait. You got to go first on that one. I can't wait.
Yeah, isn't that hard for you to pick? Having to pick between two of your children, basically, that are older than you. I think both of them.
I hope they're older than me. They look older than me. No, I think I came to my pick on that one easier than I think you might think.
Barberena is a couple months older than you. Meerschaert, a couple years
months.
Older than you.
Jesus Christ. Yeah.
Yeah, I know. May of your year. So, and you're, I believe, July, right? That's when we're having the big party.
No, I'm not, but, and I'm also not going to tell you now. So there you go.
June? Oh, yeah. I have to remember. So we have a big celebration. Anyhow. Gumby is always the good cop. No, he's a bad cop when he comes to yelling at you people about YouTube. The good cop when it comes to hyping up fight cards. It's almost like he's, if he ripped off a mask, he'd be Dana White underneath there, possibly. You call fighters kids, and, you know, you always say this guy just doesn't want to fight and stuff like that.
I don't know if I say this person didn't want to fight. I say bad fight IQ. We love bad fight IQ in the Discord. Right. Love jumping yes. Gillies and bad fight IQ.
Oh, yes. August 11th, ladies and gentlemen, August 11th. Oh, remind Christ. Me. How remind you, me, fans.
How did you find
me? If I forget when it comes closer, remind me. Anyhow, this isn't a birthday episode, is it? Yes, it is. It's Betty, Grandma Betty's birth episode. So, yeah, 98's pretty wild, eh?
Yeah, 98's pretty wild. Do you think she's bummed that it didn't happen at UFC Vegas 98?
Probably, yes. For sure, she's bummed about that. Yeah, 98 and, like, not, like... Not like struggling either is
no, quite just, a thing too. Just so. Picking around. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's pretty bad.
Pretty wild. I don't foresee that in my future, Gumby. I'm struggling already. And I'm half of that. I'm exactly half of that at this
we
point.
We do two podcasts in a row, my back hurts. So there's that.
And I can't talk. Maybe we already did an episode earlier today, and that's why I can't say anything in this episode. I can't even say Tui Vasa. I combined Tui Vasa and Ty Burra. All right, let's get into it. This is our main cards usually. Aren't as long, and I'm going to make it longer if I keep this up. This fight, I don't think I said this last episode. It's March 16th. Of course, you know it's going to be a Saturday night. When's the last time when is the last time we've had a non-Saturday UFC? It's been a quite
probably one of those Fight Island ones when they did the midweek Wednesdays, and then also I'll throw it back to was it UFC North Dakota? I want to say it was UFC North Dakota, and I want to say Michael McDonald fought on the card.
Oh, yes, Michael. Former title challenger. No, he never
did. Michael McDonald versus John Lineker. Does that sound right? Does that sound real? Right.
McDonald, yes, that was a fight card. I remember that.
Yeah, I think it was North Dakota on a Wednesday.
Oh, what could be better? There's a title for us, too.
North Dakota on a Wednesday.
I've never been in North Dakota, so maybe it's nice. Have you been in North Dakota?
No, me neither.
No? North Dakota on a Wednesday. All right. That's our title. That could be like an album. That would be like a 90s indie rock band type album is what I'm – or a Counting Crows album. North Dakota on Wednesday. Totally. Totally would work for them. So anyhow, should we crack into it, Gumby?
Yeah, that fight definitely did happen and was the main event in South Dakota.
So, I didn't think they went to North. Oh, well, I'm still sticking with the title regardless because it rolled off the tongue so well.
It was Sioux Falls, South Dakota.
Yep. Oh, I remember it well. All right. We're going to talk about little guys. Well, not really. No, we're talking about the big boys first. Kind of big. In between big. Middle big. You could say middleweights. This is the opener of the main card, ESPN Plus, 7 p.m. Eastern. Gerald Meerschaert versus Brian Barberena. A couple of Gumby's favorites. Have you had Meerschaert on your podcast before?
Yeah, I think one Bam Bam. Way when he was real new. We talked about him fighting Sam Alvey 31 times.
Oh, yeah. You had Farmer Bam Bam on your episode.
A bunch of times.
Good man, that Farmer Bam Bam. Meerschaert is connected to us because he was one of your first big hits when we started this podcast. You had him at plus 5 billion or something.
Well, +400, and then it was like +600 for sub when he beat Mahmoud Muradov, who's your favorite fighter.
My favorite actor and fighter, yes, correct. All right, we're going to tell you about Barberena first. Bam Bam is the nickname. 18-11, 11 knockouts, 2 submissions. He's been knocked out twice, submitted 3 times. 9-9 in the UFC. 0-3 over his last 3. 3-3 over his last 6. He's fought at lightweight and welterweight. 2009 pro MMA debut. 2 years younger than Meerschaert. More active landing strikes. He has outstruck his UFC opponents by 0.79 strikes per minute, +205. Meerschaert, GM3 and the machine. 35-17. 6 knockouts, 27 submissions. That's crazy. 27 submissions is madness. Have we had someone that high before? Do you remember me saying that number that high before?
Alexei Oleinik.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Missed that guy. All right. Meerschaert, he's been knocked out 4 times, submitted 8 times. 10-9 in the UFC. 0-2 over his last 2. 1-3 over his last 4. Could this be a loser leaves town match? Would they cut one of these guys?
No, they're going to keep these two until they die.
Okay. Hopefully in the cage. The way some of the refs we have, some refs are going to be hoping they die in the cage. Meerschaert, multiple regional championships on his
mantle.
Correct. Get the shirt, sportsgamblingpodcast.com/store and the code. I'll tell you right now, Merch Madness is going on right now at the store, sportsgamblingpodcast.com/store. Madness is the code. 15% off everything in the store. You can get a cool hat like I'm wearing or our mantle t-shirt. So make sure you check that out. Meerschaert used to fight at welterweight and light heavyweight. Barberena at lightweight seems odd, doesn't it? Thinking about that.
Yeah, not good.
I know I'm all over the map, but yeah, I can't picture him making lightweight. Anyhow, 2007 was Amir Shard's debut. Inch height, 5 inches reach over Barbarina. He's got better grappling stats, not surprising. He's been outstruck in the UFC by 0.2 strikes per minute. So pretty much wash. Minus 240. First of all, the machine is a better nickname than GM3, correct?
I don't know. I kind of like GM3.
Do you?
Yeah.
We have our own machine here, maybe.
It's one of those nicknames that has letters in it, but it's also, he adds the third in it. Also, the fact that there's three Gerald Meerschaerts is awesome.
Is there for real?
Yeah, he's Gerald Meerschaerts the third. That's what GM3 is.
Yeah, he's not just saying, like some people just say that as a joke. You know. Wow, okay. Very, very cool. A lot of Gerald Meerschaerts in the world. All right. We have our own machine, Munaf Machine Manji. Check him out on the NBA podcast and every other podcast. He has baseball podcast. I think he's on the football podcast. Yeah, he's all over.
Does our the network. Propcast. He does the propcast.
Yep. He's all over our network. All right. Now you're making, I had a pick here, Gumby, but now you're making me question it because you were excited about who I was going to pick here. You're like, oh, I want to see who you're going to pick in this fight. So now I'm wondering, are you trying to trick me into switching off my pick? Do I want to take? Okay, I'm taking Meerschaerts. Like I said, I don't like the odds here, obviously. I could very easily see Bam Bam and Meerschaerts on the feet and taking care of him. But Meerschaerts has fought a lot of heavy hitters before. He's been hurt before and he's still won fights regardless. He's actually just as, when you actually dig into the stats, he's just as good on the feet as Barbarina. Their knockdown rates are similar. It's like Barbarina is not really knocking down a whole bunch of people. And then obviously when we hit the ground, Meerschaerts is head and shoulders above him. So hate to see either of these guys lose at this point, but I'll take Meerschaerts.
Yeah, I'm going
Meerschaerts. Was it a trick? Was it a trap?
No.
Oh, okay, no. It wasn't a trick.
I'm going Meerschaerts. I think Bam Bam at a 185 is a terrible mistake. You know,
you want him at back at lightweight.
I mean, lightweight might be a better move for him than middleweight. I mean, like his home is welterweight for sure. Him bulking up and deciding and not really bulking up real strong here is not a move against Gerald Meerschaerts. And in addition to that, what's the biggest issue we've seen with Barbarina his whole career? It's his takedown defense. And you're going to put him in there with a guy who finishes you the second you're on the ground. Like Meerschaerts is just too good at jiu-jitsu to repeatedly go to the ground if you're Brian Barbarina. And I think he's going to repeatedly go to the ground. So yeah, give me Meerschaerts here.
All right. See, you maybe overthink it. Like they do that in on game shows and TV. The host tries to trick you.
I was trying to do that.
Yeah. But Barbarina's he's country strong, Gumby. He's a farmer strong. Okay. Maybe he doesn't look like a bodybuilder, but you know.
Yeah, he's strong as hell, to be fair. But like, he's just not, his body doesn't look like he's a middleweight.
Yep. You're just dying to press that button to put up an ad, aren't you? I can tell. You're itching. Already did Merch Madness. You want to put the graphic up anyway to show the people? Already talked about
Madness,
it. There you go.
Guys, hey, there it is.
People on YouTube. There you go. First half unders. We have lots of cool gear. So Madness is your code there. All right. We're brought to you by Cut as well. Cut is a peer-to-peer social betting platform that's US-based and available in 40 states. Peer-to-peer social betting is a new and better way to bet directly against your friends or other users on sports, politics, pop culture, and other events with verifiable outcomes. And they have tons of social features that give it the feel of a social betting network or a betting social network. Excuse me. Cut offers lower big and fully customizable. I put an extra M in there. Odds. Create your own bets. Cut handles the payment side of things so you never have to chase down anyone for money, which is the worst part of betting or fantasy sports with your friends. Social features include group chats, betting leaderboards, head-to-head history, user profiles, fan groups, and more. And the rewards are you get your cash back every single time you bet against your friends or other users. Get on Cut now. Check out all the custom bets that the SGPM gang are putting up there. Download Cut today in the App Store or over at cut.com. That's KUTT.com and use promo code SGPN for 10% deposit, a bonus. We're giving you bonuses everywhere as well as Underdog Fantasy. We're giving you bonuses there as well. Our friends at Underdog Fantasy is the easiest place to play fantasy sports. It's also the fastest growing fantasy app in the industry. All you got to do is if you haven't checked it already, get on there. They have pretty much every sport. You pick 2 to 5 players. You build a pick'em entry. You pick higher or lower on the stats that you like. And you can win up to 100 times your money. Boom. Just like that. And if you need some guidance, check out Gumby and my Underdog Fantasy NBA articles. We run every night at sportsgamblingpodcast.com and other writers do it for other sports. So check that out there. So if all that sounds good, and how does it not sound good? I'll make it sound even better. Sign up today with promo code MMASGPN. Get your first deposit, double it up to $100, as well as an instant pick'em special. Visit underdogfantasy.com or find them in the App Store. And don't forget to register with our promo code MMASGPN to get your first deposit, double it up to $100, as well as an instant pick'em special. You must be 18 or older and present in the state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-522-4700 or visit ncpgambling.org. All right, moving right along to the females, women's bantamweights, because flyweight does not exist anymore. So do you have, we have two women's bantamweight fights on the card here. Four fighters who usually fight at featherweight. Do you have any concerns about any of them getting down to bantamweight?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
Maybe Chael Sonnen, because she's had some weight issues in the past and she's been off for a bit, but no, yep. not too many.
Let's tell you about her right now. Macy Shitsam versus Penny Kienzad. Kienzad, Bonsai is the nickname. She's Swedish-Iranian with a Japanese nickname. She's 16-7 with three knockouts. Knocked out once, submitted twice. So she owes us some finishes, I think. 5-4 in the UFC. Loss, win, loss over her last three. 5-2 over her last seven. She went 2-0 in the Ultimate Fighter. And then she lost via submission in the finals to who, Gumby?
Oh, Macy Shizong.
Macy Shizong, exactly. Kienzad, as I said, used to fight at featherweight. She was a Cage Warriors champion before the UFC. She went 2-3 in Invicta, has missed weight twice at bantamweight. So keep that in mind. Fighters that miss weight generally don't win fights. Surprisingly, they are only win 41% of the time. So missing weight is not a good thing for win rates. 2012 was Kienzad's pro debut. She's got better striking stats and more active landing strikes than Shizong. She's outstruck her UFC opponents by 1.12 strikes per minute plus 205. She saw 8-3, two knockouts, two submissions, knocked out once, submitted once. 6-3 in the UFC, loss, win, loss over her last three. She did get knocked out in her last fight. Irene Aldana, correct?
Yeah, with the weird liver kick up kick.
Right. Liver kick up kick. It is correct. That was back in September 2022. Lots of health issues, right?
Yeah, health issues, injuries. And then there was another fighter who pulled out of the fight. Like, they're not all on her either.
Yeah, okay, good. She's usually, or used to fight at featherweight. She missed weight at featherweight, so definitely keep an eye on this for her if you want to pick her. 2-0 in the Ultimate Fighter and the champion, and she beat Kienzad, as I said. 1-0 in Invicta, 4 inches height, 6 inches reach over Kienzad. She is a very big fighter. Better grappling stats than Kienzad, and she's outstruck her UFC opponents by 1.03 strikes per minute, minus 238. Go ahead.
I'm taking Macy Shizong. You know, I think in this fight, the reason I like her the best is Penny Kienzad. You know, I think me and you both gave her some chances to win a couple of those most recent fights. And what we repeatedly found out about her was she had trouble with size. She has trouble with people who body her up and who take advantage of being the bigger, stronger, better grappling women. And I think in this fight, she finds herself in a similar deficit. Like, Macy Shizong was taking down Irene Aldana in that fight before she got hit with a weird upkick, and she was controlling the fight with that. And, like, she continues to be a pretty darn good grappler and somebody who throws their weight and their strength around quite well. And it was trouble for Kienzad the last time they fought, and I don't think enough has changed here for me to think otherwise. So, yeah, I'm going to go Macy Shizong again. I think the physicality is going to play out.
Yep, I agree. Just too big. And yeah, I wanted it to pick Kienzad because I'm thinking Shizong's been out for so long and she got lost. She got beaten in her last fight. But yeah, just couldn't do it, especially considering she has already lost to Shizong. Yep. Kienzad, just as Gumby said, we've given her some chances and it hasn't really ever panned out for us. So we are not giving her another chance. That's it. You're cut off, at least for this fight. All right, we're going back to the boys. We're going to featherweights. Yes. Christian Rodriguez versus Isaac Dahlgarian, one of the guests on Gumby's Top Turtle podcast this week. Right. Rodriguez, C-Rod is a nickname, C-E-E-R-O-D, all one word. He's 10-1, three knockouts, four submissions, never been finished in a fight. 3-1 in the UFC. He's won three straight fights. He's not lost in February 2022. He's fought at bantamweight, missed weight three times at bantamweight. I guess he's kind of being forced up to featherweight here, right?
Seems like it.
Yeah. Probably not his choice. He would just gladly keep giving away, 10% or 20% of his purse and keep being a size bully at bantamweight. 1-0 in Contender Series, 1-0 in Bellator, a year younger than Dahlgarian. He's got positive strike differential, 1.05, and he's at plus 154. The Midwest Choppa, Dalgarian. Have you talked to him about his nickname, Gumby?
I have, yeah.
And I should probably remember, right? I can't remember.
I mean, he's from the Midwest, and he's he chops people down. I don't.
All right, perfect.
Not much more to it than that.
he doesn't ride a choppa, isn't that?
Like, I don't think it's that kind of choppa.
Do people ride choppas in the hill country? Is what I want to know.
No, not a lot of choppas around here.
All right. The hill country. I like that. Dalgarian 6-0, 4 knockouts, 2 submissions. So he's finished everyone. Obviously, he's never been finished. He owes us rounds. Damn it. 1-0 in the UFC, was a regional champion, better striking stats, and twice more active landing strikes than Rodriguez. He's outstruck his UFC opponent, singular, by 6.87 strikes per minute. Remind us who that was, Gumby, who got beat up so bad.
Francis Marshall, who's actually pretty damn legit. Yeah.
Yep. I have him at -150 and -180. It's -180, I believe, is the correct line for that, right? For this fight. Does that sound right?
I don't know which one you're looking at. They're in
I don't know why I have -150. Let me see where I have Dalgarian. -180, sadly, because I'm taking him. I'm taking him, and it's a worse number than it originally was. Yeah, I think this, obviously, I think Rodriguez is going to have issues at featherweight because he's not a featherweight. He's a bantamweight. That was, well, maybe he's a featherweight, but he primarily fought at bantamweight, used to be in the bigger fighter there. I think Dalgarian will be able to be more physical here, and obviously you got to like his power and his finishing ability. I do like Rodriguez. I think he's a good fighter, but I think size and physicality and the power is going to be an issue here. So Dalgarian is the pick.
Yeah, I think all you need to point to in order to have faith in Dalgarian here is Rodriguez's fight with Raul Rosas. And I think a lot of people became Christian Rodriguez fans when he beat Raul Rosas. But the bottom line is, in that fight, he gave up a lot of early takedowns and was in bad positions. And it was only when Raul Rosas started to run out of gas that Rodriguez really took over. And that shows you Rodriguez has got good gas tank and he's strong and all that kind of thing. But like, when you go into a bad position against Isaac Dalgarian, you don't get a second chance. He put you away in that bad position. He's done it in every single one of his fights. Now, of course, there is maybe a tiny worry that he gasses himself out the same way Rosas did, but I don't know. He's one of those guys who looks like he's got cardio for 3 days and seems like he could fight forever. So even though he hasn't gone deep into a fight, I still got faith he can. Give me Dalgarian here too.
All right. Gumby and I are on the same page. I knew we were going to be. I've listened to the Top Turtle MMA podcast, okay? I know Gumby some of his picks in advance, so which kind of helps. All right. I also know that we both are fans of Champs. Champs is hosting a free March Madness bracket contest for a chance to win $1,000, and that's U.S. dollars. So if you're Canadian like me, that's like $1,300. So it's even better. Plus, if you host your own March Madness pool on Champs, you'll get an extra free entry into the bracket contest. Tiebreakers are determined by who enters first, so make sure to register now so you don't miss out. Head to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/champs. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/champs. All right, where are we moving to next? We are moving to big boys. Not the biggest boys, but bigger boys, light heavyweights. Ovince St. Preux versus Kennedy Enzichukwu. 3 5-minute rounds at 205 pounds. I'm going to tell you about OSP first. That's the nickname, Ovince St. Preux. 26-17, 12 knockouts, 8 submissions. He's been knocked out 5 times, submitted 3 times. So at least he is durable. We'll give him that. Over 43 fights, 8 finishes. He's been finished 8 times. 14-12 in the UFC. He's creeping closer and closer to the 500 mark there, in the wrong direction. A 1-3 over his last 4. Got knocked out in his last fight. That was back in February of 2023. That was at heavyweight. He made a brief run at heavyweight there. Maybe not run. Run is the wrong word, right? Appearance.
Brief brisk walk at heavyweight.
Brisk walk at 265. He's missed weight at 205 before. So once again, keep an eye on him if you're interested in betting him or betting this fight in general. 5-1 in Strikeforce never die. 2008 pro MMA debut. He's failed 2 drug tests. I always give that out, but I don't know if it really matters. When we hit this part of the fight, I don't know if it matters or not, especially now that USADA is no more. So we'll have to keep an eye on that. If some physiques are all of a sudden look different, like when fighters leave the UFC and all of a sudden they look totally different, we'll have to see if that happens now. USADA is not in charge anymore. Anyhow, St. Preux has been outstruck in his career by UFC career by 0.43 strikes per minute. He's at +450. And Enzichukwu, African Savage, is a nickname that I'm not calling him that. That is his nickname. I always feel weird say nicknames like that, like Black Beast or African Savage. Like, if someone just dips in and like, what is that white guy calling this guy an African Savage? I didn't come up with his nickname. All right. Enza Chukwu is the name. I can't remember what your co-host called him. It was not Enza Chukwu though. It was fun though. Do you remember what he said?
Just like a slow motion version of it.
Yes, it's true. All right. Mr. Enza Chukwu is 12-4, 8 knockouts, 1 submission. He's been knocked out twice, submitted once. 6-4 in the UFC, 3-1 over his last 4. He got TKO'd in his last fight. Who was that to, Gumby? Remind me.
Was it?
Do you remember?
Dustin Jacoby?
Yes, that sounds right. Yes, yes.
That sounds like a guy who would knock him out.
No, it is very true, though. It sounds like a guy, and it was the guy. Yeah, before that, he had finished 3 straight fighters, 3-0 on Contender Series. How did he take 3 chances on Contender Series? Remind me there.
It was like, back in the day where they didn't sign everybody.
Okay, I know, but still, isn't he the type of guy they would be interested in, wouldn't you think?
Not back then. Back then, no, he was like, I'm not just looking for people to win. I'm looking for people to do, you know.
Be African Savages.
A backflip and then win.
Yeah, that's true. But Dana White loves Savages. His nickname has Savage in it. Like, he seemed like a match made in heaven. But anyway, he used to fight at heavyweight as well. And listen to our size discrepancy and age discrepancy. 2 inches height, 3 inches reach. That's not that big. But 9 years younger than St. Preux. That is a big gap. Fighters that are at least 5 years younger than their opponent win 63% of the time, traditionally. So keep an eye on that. Well, there's nothing to keep an eye on. Their ages aren't going to change when they get in the cage. Enza Chukwu is more active than St. Preux. He's outstruck his UFC and Contender Series opponents by 0.59 strikes per minute, -549. And this is you.
I mean, nothing to say here, right? No. Kennedy Enza Chukwu is the right guy to pick. And I'll just say this, like anybody who's like, oh, maybe there's value on OSP. The people Kennedy has been losing to are the people who capitalize on his mistakes. Because don't get me wrong, he makes mistakes. Ovince St. Preux is really slow at this stage in his career, and he's the guy who makes more mistakes. And like, that's just the bottom line here, is right? Like, OSP makes a lot of mistakes in this day and age. Kennedy Enza Chukwu is just like, he's not dumb enough to hold on to a guillotine long enough to get Von Flew choked. And like, as long as he doesn't do that, he should have every advantage in the world here against OSP.
All right, there you go. I agree. Enza Chukwu is the pick. This is a good fight for him. Get a big name on his resume, right? But yeah, get him back in the winning column at the very least. So yes, we agree on that. We've agreed on everyone, have we not?
Yeah, we have.
All right. I don't think we're going to disagree on any, Gumby. I'm pretty confident the next two we're going to be on the same page as well. We shall see. Welterweights, Brian Battle versus Anje Lusa, the last ninja. 10-3, 5 knockouts, 1 submission, never been finished in a fight. 2-1 in the UFC. He's won 2 straight and 4 of his last 7. That doesn't sound quite as good, does it? 0-1 Contender Series. Used to fight at lightweight. 2013 pro MMA debut. He's more active landing strikes. He's got better grappling stats than Battle. However, he's been outstruck over the UFC and Contender Series by 0.56 strikes per minute, +155. Pooh Bear. He also wants to be called, he actually wants to be called Butcher now, but the Butcher, but we call him Pooh Bear, correct? Right?
Yes, he'll forever be the Pooh Bear.
He will forever be our little Pooh Bear. You need him on your show again soon, Gumby.
I'll see what
get
I
on that. Get on that. All right, Mr. Battle, 10-2, 3 knockouts, 5 submissions. He's been submitted one time. He's 5-1 in the UFC. He's won 2 straight and 9 of 10. 3 straight wins have come via finish. He has missed weight before, and that was at his new weight class, which was not a good look at all. But anyhow, I used to fight at bantamweight. That's nope. Insane. If you've nope middleweight, how about? Yeah. Oh, actually, it makes sense. He cut down to welterweight and then missed weight. That was the last fight, right?
I think. Was it last fight or was it the Renat Fakhradina fight?
No, it wasn't that one. It was okay. This fight, I think. Anyhow, 2-0 the Ultimate Fighter and champion of that season. 3 inches height, 3 inches of reach over Lusa, a year younger. He's outstruck his UFC opponents by 0.79 strikes per minute, -175. Give me Pooh Bear here. I'm a fan of his. I think he's a really good fighter. And I think he's better than Anje Lusa. And he's basically everything seems to be in his favor for this fight. So give me the Pooh Bear. I hope he makes weight this time though.
Yeah, I'm not thrilled about this number. I think this fight's a touch closer because Lusa has got some like interesting power dynamics that I think might possibly play in his favor here. If there's a thing that plays in Lusa's favor, it's the raw power. But the one thing I will say is anytime he's fought somebody who can strike with him from range and sort of forces him to grapple, he has trouble, right? Like he lost to Jack Del Maddalena, and like, of course, you know, you can only say so much about that, but he also lost to Mornir Lazez. And Mornir Lazez, not nearly the complete fighter Jack Del Maddalena is, but a guy who kicks boxes from range, which is kind of what Battle has learned to do in this new weight class. He's learned to be a guy who is a little bit more nuanced from range. And, you know, we've seen the grappling skills of Brian Battle hold up, you know, Renat Fakhretdinov fight aside, which, you know, I know a lot of people got
that
got
wrecked off his numbers.
Yeah. And I think it also wrecked our perception of what a good defensive grappler he is. Cause this is a guy who up at middleweight stuffed a bunch of takedowns from Andre Petrosky and then subbed him. And you know, we've been talking about Andre Petrosky, like he's a legit threat at middleweight. Mm-hmm. He's only lost to Michel Pereira. And of course he lost to Brian Battle on the show. So yeah, like I think Battle is pretty damn legit. And I think the way he strikes from range is going to cause Lusa a lot of trouble.
All right, there we go. And main event time. I don't think we're going to disagree here because I heard your pick already, but anyhow, it's heavyweights. I thought this was, I'm like, oh, right. When I was previewing this, like, this isn't so bad. At least we got a couple ranked heavyweights, but then I'm like, oh yeah, these guys haven't won for a while. Well, Ty Burrow's on one fight losing streak, but Tuivasa hasn't won in like, what, three straight fights he's been finished in. So anyhow, it's heavyweights, people. They have more than nine lives. They lost a long time in the UFC. Tiber is a nickname, so basically his last name minus a letter. My nickname's Fo. He is 24-8, 9 knockouts, 6 submissions. He's been knocked out 5 times. 11-7 in the UFC, 2-1 over his last 3, 7-2 over his last 9. Lost his last fight via TKO. Who was that to, Gumby?
Was that the Pavlovich?
Yes. You had your Russian fighters mixed up last time. You're correct this time. Regional champion, 2011 pro MMA debut, 1 height, 3 inches of reach over Tuivasa. Better grappling stats than Tuivasa. That's no surprise there. And he's outstruck his UFC opponents by 0.2 strikes per minute, plus 105. Bam, bam, Tuivasa. We have two Bam Bams on the main card. Crazy, right?
Pretty rare.
I don't think they've shared a card, or at least not since we've been doing the show.
I'm pretty sure Brian Barbarena shared a card with Brady Heastand, who's also Bam Bam.
Oh, that's another Bam Bam. Yeah, we could have had three here. They dropped the ball. UFC so worried about UFC 300 and they dropped the ball here. All right, this Bam Bam, the big guy, Tuivasa is 14-6 with 13 knockouts. Been knocked out 3 times, submitted twice, 8-6 in the UFC. However, he's lost 3 straight fights. Before that, he won 5 straight. All of those are via finish. All the wins, all the losses over the last 8. Has not won since February 2022. Was regional champion, 2012 pro MMA debut. 5-2 in pro boxing. He also did some pro kickboxing. Based on the last weigh-ins, he was 20 pounds heavier than Tybura. He's 8 years younger. He's more active landing strikes. However, he's been outstruck in the UFC by 1 strike per minute. He's at minus 120. All right. Go ahead. Last pick.
Yeah, I'm going Ty Tuivasa. For me, the big difference here is the fact that Ty Tuivasa, it's the knockout power. Does he do anything else better than Tybura? I'm not sure. You know, Tybura is probably a better wrestler. Tybura is definitely better in top control. Tybura is maybe even a better technical striker from time to time. He's certainly better against the cage. I just don't think it's going to matter because I don't think Tybura can do any of those things consistently enough to beat Tuivasa. And I also just don't think he's got the put away ability, because that's the big thing with Tuivasa. You look at those last 3 fights and the guys who beat him, they're guys who can put him away. And even then, like, what did Surreal Game have to do to get him out of there, man? Like, he hit him with freaking literally everything he had. And even then, there was an argument not to stop that fight, right? Like, he wasn't out. And so for me, I don't think Tybura's got that in him. And in addition to that, I sort of think we sleep on what Ty Tuivasa can do with his takedown defense, especially like if you go back and you watch that Derek Lewis fight, he stuffed a couple of takedowns and Tybura's had some trouble with people who can stuff his takedowns. You know, like look at the Greg Hardy fight. You know, originally he got a couple of takedowns stuffed in that one. Tuivasa just stuff a couple of these and hit him with a couple of right hands and this one's over. So yeah, give me the favorite here, Ty Tuivasa.
I agree. Ty Tuivasa is my pick as well. Just the power. So much power. And yeah, Ty Burrow is going to get eaten up with that on the feet. And I don't see him finishing Tuivasa or getting down and finishing him. So, yeah, we agreed. Tuivasa is the pick. All right, let's recap. Then we will get you our fancy plays. Tuivasa, we're in on all the same fights here. Tuivasa, Battle, Nsechukwu, Dalgarian, Chasson, Mearshart. All right. Before, don't you go away yet, because we got our locks, dogs, props, parlays, all that fun stuff. After I tell you about Hall of Fame bets, you can win bigger by betting smarter this NBA season with Hall of Fame bets, the sports betting analytics platform for parlays, player props, and game lines. Research every NBA and soccer bet with historical stats and data. Enter any parlay idea into Hall of Fame bets, revolutionary parlay optimizer tool to get hit rates broken down by leg, as well as an expected probability for the entire parlay. Sort all players by hit rate for any bet to learn which players are hot and which picks have value. Stop betting in the dark and join over 30,000 users researching with Hall of Fame bets to craft more intelligent, data-driven parlays. Download the Hall of Fame bets app or visit hofbets.com and use code SGPN to get 50% off your first month today. Start researching, start winning with Hall of Fame bets. All right, locks, dogs, props, fancy parlays that we almost hit last week. We're going to hit it this week. I think I am the one to kick things off, correct, this week?
You are indeed.
All right, I got to come up with my favorite lock pick. Got to want to find one with good odds for you. Give me the Choppa, Isaac Dalgarian -180. We just talked about him.
That's my lock of the week too. I'm taking Isaac Dalgarian. I think the fact that Rodriguez is coming up from bantamweight, along with just his ability to put people away early, I think it's too much here.
Yep. Like we said, the size and the finishing ability. All right, dogs. Now I actually have a few dogs. Not on the
neither of us have main card ones.
Yeah, that's right. None of the main card. It's a little dog, but I don't think she should be a dog. So Jackie Amorim +105 would be my dog pick.
All right, I'm gonna go Ode Osborne. I like his line against Jafal Filho. It's a little bit bigger. And also, you know, I hounded on him the last show. You even made fun of me for it. He comes from a wrestling base. Did you know that?
Yes, I heard that. I think he used to be a wrestling coach, I believe. I remember him telling you on your podcast.
High school wrestling coach. He wrestled in high school. He's actually got a lot of wrestling skills. So, yeah, give me Ode.
And you know I like him because he's long, big, tall, long arms for flyweight. All right.
Yeah, you heard it first. I love it. Jeff likes him long.
I like him long. All right. I got to come up with a prop. I don't have any prop picks. All right. Let me think off the top of my head.
I've got like four of them I want.
Do you?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm going to use two of them in The Hungry Man. So.
Oh, really? Okay, good. Good point. Good idea, I mean. One second. How about you? Do you mind giving yours?
Yeah, I can go mine. I can go mine first. I'm going to take GM3 by submission. Okay. I like Brian Barberena, but the fact of the matter is I just don't think he can defend the submissions for all that long. +110 on GM3 by submission.
All right, +110. I was going to say Nsechukwu would be a knockout, but that's way – those odds are like not good enough.
-330.
Yeah. Yeah. Actually, let me put down your GM3 sub. What was the number again?
110.
+110?
Yeah, +110.
Nice. Very nice. What's Tuivasa's knockout number at?
I think I saw that. It was close to even money when I looked.
Oh, that's really? That's it? All right, let me check it out, folks. I'm checking it out while we're rolling here. I don't know why I'm surprised that I have to came up with a prop.
Yeah, why is this shocking?
Every episode, I know. I'm like, oh, wait a minute. I got to do a prop pick. Where's Tuivasa? Scrolling. Tuivasa wins via decision. Inside the distance, yes, but I want a knockout.
I got him by KO here at -115.
I see him at +105. I'm going to go with my number. best fight odds. All right. Tuivasa knockout +105. All right. Recap, we both have Dalgarian as our lock. Osborne and Amorim are our dogs. GM3, Mearshart via submission, and Tuivasa via knockout are our prop picks. All right, we got Hungry Man John Superfan parlay, two-fight parlay. Last week, it was a big one that was going to pay out +3575, I believe. Yeah, but
so close, too.
But yeah, Michael Page decided to dance around instead of finishing the fight. So this week, we'll see if we win.
All right, so we're going to go big KOs this week. I'm going to start with Isaac Dalgarian by KO or TKO. That's one that I just think he's going to get on top of Christian Rodriguez early in that fight, plus 375 for him to get Rodriguez out of there with the TKO, which I don't know if they're baking in a price for him to possibly get a submission here, but plus 375 seems wild to me for Isaac Dalgarian by KO. I'm going to pair that with Char Lampros Gregorio by KO as well. Even though, you know, you mentioned on yesterday's show, Chadden Helger, not a guy who gets knocked out. I do think Charlie Lampos has got a lot of advantages here. He himself has tons of knockouts, plus 235 on that one. So when you pair the plus 375 and the plus 235 together, you're going to get plus 1491.
Wow. Fantastic. 1491. All right. We did it. That is all we need to tell you about this fight card. We're going to come back on Sunday and we're going to count all our money that we won, that we all won, because you're all going to follow along with our picks as well, of course. You can get more picks and chatter and more of us, basically, in the Discord, sportsgamblingpodcast.com/Discord. Twitter is SGP and MMA. He's at Gumby Vreeland. I'm at Jeff Fox Writer there and on Instagram. Get into my Substack, moneymma.substack.com. Use the picks we just gave you to win my pick'em contest. You can enter it for free, so get in there. Listen to Gumby's Top Turtle MMA podcast this week. Isaac Dalgarian and Gregorio was last week.
Who's Kurt Hollabaugh.
Kurt Hollabaugh, who's fighting next week?
He's fighting next week in UFC Vegas right. 89.
Okay. So definitely listen to that. Always a good listen. Where else? Obviously, I don't want Gumby to have to yell at anyone anymore about subscribing. So subscribe to our channel on the TubeYube. It's for free. It won't cost you anything, and it will help us drive Ferraris, like I said yesterday's episode. So do that. And obviously, sportsgamblingpodcast.com, sportsgamblingpodcast.com/store, sportsgamblingpodcast.com/Patreon. All right, Gumby, take us home.
All right, I'm Daniel Gumby Vreeland. He's Jeff JF1. Fox, and we will see you on Sunday.